Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by you guys. I took the extra day off this weekend, so I'm releasing the Monday mailbag now on a Tuesday. I hope you guys can all forgive me. We had family in town to celebrate my little... Avery's already a month old. Good Lord. I understand what people are saying when they say, wow, yeah, time flies as soon as this, you know, as soon as you have a kid. Everybody just hits fast forward. You guys weren't kidding. Holy crap. But I'm going to answer your guys' questions. I'm going to get through as many as I can. I'm not going to be able to get to all of them, so we'll come back to the mailbag at some point over the next few days. Let's just dive right in, though. First question comes from Nick A29. Do you realistically see Rob Pelinka in the next 5 years still in charge? Love the show. Thank you. That's tough. I want to say yes because she has loyalty from Jeannie Buss, but you know, at that same time, if you know, it's hard to ignore the coaching debacle and you know the Lakers not getting Kawhi Leonard, right? Those kinds of things, you kind of that goes on the negative side of Pelinka, and then, you know, on the positive side, he has been in charge while involved with the organization while they acquired LeBron James and then while they acquired Anthony Davis. So, you know, a lot is riding on this year. So I think if the Lakers live up to expectations this year, you're looking at, you know, Pelinka probably sticking around for quite some time because he'll be the guy, you know, the narrative is going to be, well, Pelinka was the guy who got the Lakers back to the playoffs, right? He's the guy who got them back to the postseason. But if they don't make it to the postseason, or if they do make it but then have a quick exit, then, you know, the noise is going to be pretty loud to have him fired. The thing with Pelinka that makes it really hard to predict on this stuff is, as of right now, he doesn't really have the backing of the fan base. The fan base is not exactly thrilled with Pelinka, and nor should they be, you know? The Lakers fans have really high expectations, and as of the last 7 years or so, those expectations haven't been met. So if Pelinka is the guy who helps get the Lakers back into the postseason and he makes a couple more moves over the course of the season to fortify the rotation, then great, awesome. He deserves to stick around. But if the Lakers continue to fall short of expectations, the noise is going to get really loud for Rob Pelinka, and it's really going to get really loud for Jeannie Buss because that was her now second hire. The three big decisions that she's made over the last, you know, few years has been first firing Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak, and then of putting Magic in charge, and then now keeping Pelinka when Magic gave the Lakers an out and the ability to go out there and sign somebody else. She opted not to do that, and if the Lakers fall short of expectations, it's going to get real loud and real ugly for Rob Pelinka, but I think it's, you know, you're really going to start to see the fan base start to turn on Jeannie Buss. I hope it doesn't come to that, but you know, you got to be fair on these things. You have to be able to criticize. You have to link back to Jeannie on these things. And those decisions, if they don't work out, somebody has to be held accountable at the very top. Next question here comes from Kenny L. 24. Review, love the show. I also love how Anthony forced Pete to take a paid leave of absence after he disrespected pineapples on pizzas by not allowing them to flourish together. And anyway, you both are awesome. Keep up the good work. We'll try. Question. Oftentimes in a LeBron-led offense, the third star is forced into a screener slash spot-up shooter with an occasional ISO. Not saying Kuz is the third star, but what level of player do we need Kuz to become now that Boogie is out? Do we need him to flirt with an all-star appearance to win a title? Well, the third best player on the team is going to be Danny Green. It's not going to be Kyle Kuzma. I would be really shocked if Kyle Kuzma was actually the Lakers' third best player. Now, how far behind Danny Green does Kuzma wind up sitting at, that's going to go a long way in deciding what the Lakers are capable of this year. But, you know, to answer the point, if the third best player here winds up being more of a shooter, then Green is perfect for it. He's a low usage type player who spaces the floor just with his natural shooting ability and bends defenses and puts those defenses in really tough spots just because of how closely they have to monitor his ability to shoot the ball. So that is a very nice fit. Now, what you really need is for Kyle Kuzma to be, you know, even if he's behind Danny Green, if he's like a 3A, right, or if a 3B, or, you know, if he's the fourth best player and not far behind Danny Green, and, you know, every so often, you know, Kenny asked about how Boogie's impact and how that affects Kuzma. Kuzma's going to have to show a few more creative chops that he hasn't, you know, he started to flirt with it a little bit, but he hasn't been a consistent creative presence. And with DeMarcus Cousins out and Dwight Howard being signed in his stead and not Joakim Noah, the Lakers need another creator out there. And either that's Kuzma with the second unit, or, you know, maybe Rajon Rondo shows a little bit there. Maybe Alex Caruso picks up on the way that he played at the end of the season. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's the spot where Kuzma, he's going to have to be a lot better defensively, and he's going to have to be, he'll need to be a creative presence if he wants to live up to some of the hype that is surrounding him at this point. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. All right, next question here comes from Groove. If you go back in time and pit any two NBA champions against each other, what matchup would you love to see, and who do you think wins in that series? Also, Pete says pineapple shouldn't be cooked. What does he think about upside-down pineapple cake? Surely he can't say no to that. He can't. He's not. Anyway, to answer the first question, the two teams I would really like to see play each other are actually that 16-1 Lakers team, and I'd like to see them go up against the last year's Golden State Warriors while they're fully healthy. That's just a really, really fun matchup that pits strengths against weaknesses in ways that make it really tough. You know, boxing styles make fights, right? And for the Lakers, you have there's nobody on the Warriors that can check Shaq, right? For the Warriors, Shaq has no chance whatsoever regarding their pick and roll stuff. And I would love to see, you know, how all that goes down. So those are the two teams I would really like to see. Also, the Showtime Lakers against that Golden State team too. That'd be a lot of fun. The 16-1 Lakers team against the 72-win Bulls. That would be great. But any much further back than like the 80s, and I start losing interest in these matchups because the game has just come too far in that time. Next question here comes from Motor Breath. Anthony, it's getting tough to keep listening. Wow. I know you're giving your honest opinion, but it gets to be brutal to listen to sometimes. Just an example, your Rondo player preview was not funny, if that's what you were going for. It was. It was. If you felt that strongly, maybe you should have someone else do it. No. I'm giving you a 5-star review because I appreciate what you and Pete do, but please keep in mind some people like me are not looking to be bummed out every day. It's fine to be tough and critical, but maybe we can temper it with a positive outlook counterpoint. Maybe it's just an off-season thing. Well, so the tough thing about lately, topic-wise, is that, you know, first we had DeMarcus Cousins getting hurt and tearing his ACL and being out for the year. Then we had, you know, now we're finding out that they are filling his spot with Dwight Howard, which is not exactly ideal. And then on top of all that, you have this DeMarcus Cousins legal situation, which is also really tough. So I can't really control the topics there. I have to talk about what's actually going on around the Lakers. And if I come off as critical of those situations, it's because those are critical situations. Those are situations that deem criticism necessary. And that's kind of where I have to go there. Now, I still remain optimistic about the team. I still think they're a title contender. I still think that this season has the opportunity to really surprise us, and I can't wait to see LeBron have, you know, as much rest as he has and have, you know, as many people doubting him as he currently does. I can't wait to see Anthony Davis, you know, vault himself back into that top five player conversation. Like, those are things I'm really, really looking forward to. It's just lately it's been a little tough to look at those things because of the news of the day. So, sorry. Let's go one more question here. Anthony's Puns is writing, "Hey, Anthony and Pete, love the show. Your guys on air chemistry has gotten so good over the last year. Here's my question." Well, first, thank you very much. It's something we really work at. I swear to goodness, it's actually something that you have to work at is chemistry. Here's my question. "Is it fair I'm not quite as excited about the Lakers somewhat due to how the team was constructed compared to my excitement for, let's say, the Warriors and their narrative?" Well, it's tough because we know that the math has changed in the NBA. Right, we know that the math has evolved in how, and it's pretty clear on how to win in the NBA. Right, just in terms of efficiency, there's a very clear path to success in the NBA, and the Lakers aren't abiding that path to success. And what that does is, now it doesn't mean that they aren't going to be successful, it just means that they're going about it in a different way. And so for our expectations, we would probably prefer that it follow that path to success a little bit more closely. And because they aren't, you know, it makes us a little nervous. It makes us a little worried about how that's going to work out. Because just last year, again, they ignored the path to success that the NBA has kind of shown us over the last few years. And they went in a completely different direction. And in building their team that way, it was a bit of a disaster. And, you know, and people are going to say, well, you know, the Lakers had injuries and this and that and the other. Yes, you're right. They did. But that path to success, that math that I'm talking about, that allows for more margin for error. And so the Lakers, because of the direction that they took the team in last year, they didn't have as big a margin for error as, say, some other teams, right? So you look at, you mentioned the Warriors here in this question, and we saw Kevin Durant get hurt. And the Warriors still, I think, would have probably, I would bet that the Warriors beat Toronto if Klay Thompson is there, right? And it took Kevin Durant blowing his Achilles, Klay Thompson tearing his ACL, to get to a point where the Warriors and the Raptors, it was still a fairly competitive series, and that's despite those things going down. And that's what I'm talking about with margin for error, is that the Warriors were still able to compete at a championship level because of the way that they've tweaked the math for themselves. And the Lakers ignoring that math has made it so that if the Lakers suffer any injuries, now you start to really worry about how the team is going to make up for that. And we'll see, you know. It might be that the Lakers found their own math and did their own work here and are going about success in their own way, and that it works out. And that would be great. I would love to talk about the team in that kind of a situation. It's just when the people who criticize the team do so, it's because they're doing things that detour from the path that leads to success that we've all kind of seen charted out for us over the last decade or so. It's an interesting conversation, though. Let's go. Let's take another quick second. No, you know what? I'll answer one more question. Neverworry24, "Why do you like Noah so badly? He's a very whack player, and he doesn't like LeBron. He used to throw LeBron shade just to get publicity." Okay, I don't really know about any of that stuff. He's a very competitive guy, and I think there were things that LeBron did that he didn't particularly like out there. And we saw it just recently with the Devin Booker thing, where they sent a double team over to him. Booker threw his temper tantrum, and Noah kind of looked over at him like, what the hell is going on right now? And I think Noah, the reason I really like him is I really like that competitive fire. I really like the kinds of players who aren't passive aggressive, and they'll just say, if they don't like something, that they don't like that something. And I think that sometimes rubs LeBron the wrong way, because he's very much a passive aggressive individual. And if he doesn't like something, he's going to go about telling you that he doesn't like it in a way that keeps his hands clean. And, you know, I can see that kind of being, I could see both things going, you know, both, there's no bulletproof means of conflict management. There's no such thing as a perfect way to solve those kinds of situations. I just really like, I respect the way that Joakim Noah has historically gone about those things. And then also from you know, just a basketball standpoint, his passing ability would have been really, really key here. He's not completely washed defensively, and I think those things would have come. And he's big. I believe he's bigger than Dwight Howard, and that would have helped given some of the matchups that they're looking for production against, and that's where I think Joakim Noah would have helped. But you know, again, I always, anytime I offer up criticism, or anytime I'm not for a move, I hope to be proven wrong. And I hope that Dwight Howard actually steps up, is mature, accepts his role, and goes about helping the Lakers win. That would be great. I would lose zero sleep whatsoever if I wound up being wrong on this. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to answer as many questions here as I possibly can. All right, next question here comes from Lil Dog 33. Hey, Anthony and/or Pete, love the show. Do you think the Lakers playing the Clippers in Game 1 without Paul George are in a lose-lose situation, being expected to win that game? Well, I mean, if you want to go down that path, any expectations whatsoever means that you could be in a lose-lose situation. And I just think this Lakers team, you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis, you have a decent set of role players surrounding them. This team is going to have to live up to expectations. And while there is obviously a downside to setting expectations fairly high, in the way that I've already had some issues with them setting those expectations potentially too high, right, with all this title or bust talk. But if that's the way that they want to go about this and they live up to those expectations, then that's the perfect outcome for this season. So, yeah, is there something at stake here? Is there more at stake potentially for the Lakers in that first game if the Clippers don't have Paul George back? I guess, yeah. That's probably true. All that means is that the Lakers have to go out and take care of business, though. And I think they can. It's a fun matchup between the Lakers and Clippers. And if you guys haven't heard it already, go check out our show with Justin Russo, where we got into the matchups and stuff like that. And even the one with Jovan Buha, where we talked about the matchups and the history between the Lakers and Clippers. Those were both really good episodes. Next question here comes from Dead Andre. Hope you're not dead, Andre. Five stars with Pete or Harrison. Otherwise, I don't listen. Man, you can tell Anthony is a pretty talented audio guy and he direct flow decently, but it's just if it's just him, I skip the show. He's made it all about himself and not the team or the fans. I skip his articles on Silver Screen and Roll 2, and I've been listening or reading for 15 years. I haven't been around for that long, so you haven't been reading or listening to me for 15 years. That's not even really a question, so do you, I guess. You're not listening right now anyway, so who cares? MTallB010, love the show, guys. With the recent Boogie audio news coming out, can the Lakers cut Boogie and get back that extra roster spot they used on Howard? I think they should. I've been kind of disconnected over the weekend. I have to get back into seeing what the latest is on that. But yeah, I think that was, it was already, you know, the Lakers were doing Boogie the favor by keeping him around despite his injury. Now he doesn't get that favor from me if I'm in charge of the Lakers. I think I cut ties. If that audio is definitely him, and if more with that situation comes to light, I think the Lakers, you know, and it's like I said with Harrison the other day, this is an easy one. This is if you're looking for the situation where you get to make a statement about domestic violence, about, you know, family violence and violence onto a woman. Like, this is the spot where you get to make it and do so without losing anything. They don't lose anything in this. If those things come out as true and the Lakers cut Boogie, they don't lose anything there. And this is the easy one. It's just that I don't know for sure that the Lakers are actually going to go down that path. I think we would have heard a little bit more about it at this point if they were actually going to take those steps. But there has been a warrant for Boogie's arrest issued, I believe, in Alabama. So we'll see what comes out of it. And if it comes out that was actually his voice on the audio, and the context wasn't, you know, under weird circumstances, then yeah, it's, this one should be pretty easy. And then the Lakers get their open roster spot for if and when Andre Iguodala hits the open market. Next question here comes from Rigamaru. Great show. Will the Lakers change their uniforms this year? And what's your favorite Lakers uniform? Ooh, that's a good question. I hope the Lakers kind of go back to more of a gold color. They had that really weird banana yellow that made them look more Michigan than LA. So I'd like to see that go. I really like the 90s uniforms that they had. Those were great, in my opinion. I think those are probably their best overall uniform. A close second, though. Kobe wore a like royal blue throwback jersey to one of the parades. I'm blanking on which year it was, but it had like the cursive Los Angeles on it, and it was, like I said, royal blue with a little bit of a light blue, you know, kind of bordering on it. It looked incredible. That to me is just a really good. If you're gonna have a uniform that is not purple and gold, that's the color you do it. That's how I would like to see the Lakers dress this year. That was badass. I also think the purple uniform from last year was a little underrated. I think people crapped on it a little too hard. Yes, that black bordering thing was kind of weird. I didn't understand what they were trying to do there. But overall, I think that was a pretty nice uniform. Next question here comes from Jay Everett. Hey, Anthony, wonderful show. I listen almost every day. Question, if you could set up your own team of the Lakers players that have been on the team within the last 5 years, who would be on your Lakers team? Oof. The last 5 years is kind of tough, right? What's my goal here? Am I tanking? Am I trying to get in on a draft prospect next year? Because if you're talking the last 5 years, you're probably better off trying to make a team like that. But last 5 years, if I was to make a good team out of it, and I was given, you know, salary cap, whatever, be damned, I would go LeBron, Anthony Davis, Lonzo, Randall, D'Angelo Russell. I would, you know, keep Kuzma and Hart and Ingram. And I really believe in Alex Caruso. I might be a little too high on him, but I really do believe in him. I've liked him every time I've seen him up on the parent team. So he's good. Thomas Bryant, Ivica Zubac, like give me those guys. And JaVale McGee. I think JaVale McGee would be good there too. So there's your rotation. It would be a fun one. It would be a really, really, really fun team. And you know, I don't think, you know, so if the Lakers never go down this path of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they just build from, you know, their young core up and they try to go up that way, I think they probably top out as like a five or a six seed that gives, you know, maybe wins a first round here and there, and pushes their next opponent in the playoffs. But you never know. I mean, these guys are still relatively young and they're still going to be growing. But I also do think there's something to those who wonder if the Lakers themselves are patient enough to build that way. And I think we've learned pretty resoundingly that they probably are not. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, though. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Thank you for sending your questions. I still have a ton to get to over the next few days, so I will do that. Pete will also be back here in the next few days or so as well, I believe. I'm pretty sure he said he was going to be back there for like 10 days. So we'll see. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.